Hey everybody, and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast that is focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. This week we might say net zero future. Well, that will come on to that in just a minute. But anyway, I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the EV Cafe team to support me, Mr. JC, John Curtis. Welcome.
Oh, thank you kindly. I'm looking forward to today. I'm going to learn something.
John, you're always learning something. This is true. But today we are joined by the wonderful innovator and pioneer and collaborator that is, and he genuinely is, all of these things, Matt Eisenegger from, Net Zero Magazine, CV Driver, and of course, intrinsically involved with the Commercial Vehicle Show. Matt, welcome.
Welcome to me. Hey, I'll take all of those accolades. It's fantastic, that. Yeah, you're making me sound like I actually know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we'll see where we go with it.
Mate, one thing is for certain that I have learned over the last few years of being on the periphery, let's be honest, of the heavier end of the commercial vehicle sector, which you are firmly embedded in, and I have only heard good things. Tell us a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis and really how you arrived at the place that you're at in short, and we'll go on to the rest of it later.
I think it's probably easy to start at the very beginning because I sort of think, like a lot of people, stumbled into media. But as I've been involved in the commercial vehicle industry all my working life, I started as a vehicle technician in what used to be the old YTS scheme back in the sort of mid-80s.
Yeah. Wow.
Came through the spanners, yep. Came through the spanners, and then at the tender age of 21, when you're, I will hasten to add, I am reasonably highly qualified in what I did in relationship to the technology. We used to have the City and Guilds schemes. Went right through the City and Guilds. I went on to do the IRTA examinations, the Institute of the Motor Industry examinations. And then, as I say, at the tender age of sort of 20, 21, when all you want to do is go out and drink beer and talk to girls and go in with oil down your fingernails, you think, now I want a bit of a cleaner job. And at that point, I thought, I fancy selling trucks. So we had a truck franchise at the time of the garage I was working at, And you got a company car and free petrol. I thought, well, why would... So 1989, I went into truck sales and I was selling a brand called AWD, which was a spin out of the old Bedford truck products. That until they sort of basically went into receivership in the early 90s, and then ended up selling Renault trucks and sold Renault trucks up until 2000. And then I went to work for an end-of-line engineering business, which, selling conversion. So it was wheelbase modifications and chassis repackaging and all those other bits and pieces. But I'd always had sort of a weird, interesting sort of what made the industry tick, the heavy truck industry, So I was always fascinated. Every month we used to get the SMMT report for, local vehicle registrations. I always wondered how that was formulated. And sort of got an interest in, I suppose, the sort of mechanics of the industry and the strategies and all those sorts of things. And purely by chance, in the early 2000s, I went to work for a guy we all know and love, Tim Campbell. So that's the sort of link. So at that point then, Tim's business was very much doing that, it was sort of a pretty much on a global basis as well, to be fair. We were looking at stats and forecasts of the industry all around the world. It was really, really fascinating. And that sort of brought me, into sort of front and centre of a lot of people within the sort of OEMs, because we were working with them on other projects, and Tim sort of moved a little bit of his business into the sort of media side of it. He'd always got a yearning to get involved in sort of print media. And purely by chance, at one particular day, he needed a feature writing. He had a space in him. I had nothing to do with it. He said, oh, what are you doing today? I said, well, no. He said, can you write me a feature? This, I've got four pages in a magazine. Yeah, all right then. And And it's all gone downhill from there, really, because I did that working for Tim. This running in this part of the media business, or working very, very close to that part of the media business. And then we were covering very much a sort of light van and light truck element of it. And then we moved, I persuaded Tim to get involved in a bit more of the heavy truck, which we did. So we launched another magazine there. And then the world stopped turning, and you sort of, if everybody remembers, sort of 2009 going into 2010.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I'd had an idea of sort of, I'd spoken to a guy that was running a truck wash, or truck wash business, UK Truck Clean, Gary Taylor. And we got talking about magazines and things like that. And he said, oh, we could give magazines away if we, you know. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. And I'm sort of looking at the media world as it was in the print media. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. If I can come up with a product that looks really, really high end, but give it away free. Now, the one thing that we'd got through the sort of knowledge that we'd got within the company was I could see this opportunity presenting itself. You know, the people that were buying traditional magazines, you know, only really, really equates to a small proportion of the professional truck driver. This at this point, this was just for the heavy, you know, the truck driver market. So what led a question to me was, well, hang on a minute, where the people that don't buy magazines get their information from? You know, because I'm not going to say the internet was in its infancy, it wasn't, but it was, you know, it was still very much print-based. So that presented a market gap. And I thought, well, you know, Tim's my son's godfather, you know, even today he's a really, really close friend. But it was, I thought, well, it was my time to do something for me. And when I said, I'd got the idea, went round a few of the people that I regard as sort of confidants in the industry and said, look, if I were to do this, is this something you'd support me with? And they all came down, and it wasn't, I think there was a little bit of a relationship there, but I'd identified a market that was a genuine market opportunity. So I said to Tim, look, I'm leaving. To be fair, shook me and wished me well. And that was November 2010. And then we launched CV Driver magazine, which was the first one, in January 2011. And then from there, it sort of took us in. We launched a parallel product then called Trade Van Driver magazine, which sort of fills the sort of professional trades, if you will. And then that sort of gradually builds up into other opportunities. So we do the magazine for DAF Trucks. We do DAF Driver magazine, which is distributed solely around the DAF dealer network. You know, it's 15,000 magazines we do there quarterly.
Wow.
You know, so it's a big circulated magazine, is that. We've got the Fours magazine that runs in parallel to all these other things as well. And then about 2.5 years ago, we launched Destination at Zero magazine because, you know, I could see the frustration that particular truck up, you know, we've been driven down this electric vehicle route, but as we all know, you know, to make that jump from traditional diesel engines, we call them ICE engines now, it's only in the last 2 years we've been calling them ICE engines, we've got these diesel engines, to where I suppose the regulators wanted to be with battery electric vehicles, there's a big gap in between, yeah. and it's sort of a transition. And I thought, maybe showcase and talk about the different technologies. So we do a lot on, you know, obviously battery electric vehicles. We do covering quite a lot on gas. We've done a lot on HVO, and obviously a little bit further down the road where we go with things like hydrogen. But I wanted to sort of put that into one place, so at least the reader can sort of come away sort of probably far more informed than they did do when before they picked the magazine up. And you just help them to, you know, just join the dots, because it's a really, really complex area, you know, and it's a very, very expensive area, and it's an area that, you know, you could really make some very, very expensive mistakes. And here we are now. So Destination Net Zero, we obviously we've got the print magazine, but we also work very, very hard online with it through the social, particularly LinkedIn, you know. So we're there all the time, the stuff going out. And I think it's great. And, you know, it's been very, really well received by the market as well.
You are some machine, I tell you. You're a communicator. I think that's the thing that comes across for me, is it doesn't matter whether it's the spoken word, written word, you've got it nailed down, and there's a passion about you, Matt, your enthusiasm is infectious. How do you do that? Have you always been like that, even when you were a kid?
No, not really. I've never been shy or retiring, but it's, you know, I think as a child, you know, I wasn't particularly academic. But the one thing I found, I think when I got to sort of 16 or 15, getting ready to, I thought, better pull my bloody socks up and get on with something. But I'd always, and it's quite interesting because the vehicle side of it, it's not like, you know, you see a lot of these businesses, a second and third generation. We didn't even have a car as a kid, you know, so it was sort of I suppose, a hobby and an interest that's sort of, transitioned into a profession and a passion, I suppose.
Perfect world. And trucks is really, really important to you. Professional driving is important to you. Where did that come from? Was it purely because you went and you were on the tools and you learned them, so that was where your comfort blanket?
I think it was. I think what happened when I went to college, I was never particularly academic at college, and I used to struggle with maths. But as soon as I went to college and I could relate it, you know, I could look at mechanic, you know, gearboxes, final drive ratios, sweat volumes, pi r squared, you know, we could, all of these sudden things that were just mumbo jumbo to me at school, all of a sudden got a place. You know, even working like final drive ratios, driven over driver, you know, these are the things I could never do at school, but what I could see, as soon as I could feel and touch it and understand it, I'm not just saying it, but I excelled at college. I did really, really well at college, and that sort of pushed me on. I thought, hang on a minute, I'm not a dead loss here. Sound negative, that it's not, but it's. I actually got, and then I quite like this. And then obviously then you can begin to aspire to other things, and, you know, and I think it's really important. You follow your dreams, you follow your heart, you know?
Totally.
That is so right. I mean, it's sort of, I relate back because I've looked at my life, you know, I've got two O levels and that's it. I was rubbish at school, didn't have the perfect start in life, that part of life. And so you carry that because it's quite character forming, isn't it? But once you find that thing that you excel at, and clearly you did that, fortunately for you early on, you know, to find that point where you got to put it all into practice, it's really exciting. And it sort of fast forward to today. You're once again thinking about the future, the net zero thing, and how to apply all this. What do you see as the key challenges for the industry and the obstacles to overcome, and what part are you playing in how that gets handled?
I think sometimes where the media goes wrong, and this is right across the board, this is not just in the vehicle sector, but I try to put the operational hat on. You know, it's all right us trying to sort of bombard people with all this information that we believe is right and correct, which it is, but it's how that information is used by the operator. You know, so it's all right, the vehicle manufacturers banging the drum saying, you know, battery electric vehicles are the way forward, the regulators say. But the one thing, you know, if you're particularly in heavy truck world, if you're running a business that's at best, and this is right across the board, your return on investment is anywhere between 3-5%. The rates you're charging for the charge, you know, for your moving goods from A to B, you know, there is opportunity to flex it up. But when you try put a vehicle in there that's probably 3.5 times the price of where you are of what you would normally use to pay, how does that relate into making money? And that's what I always try to keep front and centre. So that's why you've got to show the breadth of the technologies, the breadth of the opportunities that is there to fill that, you know, that need to decarbonise your business. And there's a passion there to do it. The operators want to do it. And that's what, when you were saying about what are there's a lots of, you know, I suppose, issues and potential problems because it's all money related. You know, we talk about a charging network, a national charging network that will support heavy trucks. It's not there. And, you know, we're beginning to see it now. Obviously, Milan's are opening a site in a couple of weeks, but that's one dot on one map. And so, there's a lot of things that businesses can be doing, should they choose to do so, to sort of transition their business in steady stages. And that's what it's about, because at the end of the day, these businesses have got to continue to make money. If they can't make the money, there's no business. So what is the point? They've got to move at the same speed, these things. And that's the one thing that's not happening. Yeah. I was at the IAA show at Hanover in last year, and there was this, you could feel it, on the more so with the heavy trucks, there was this pent-up frustration that the truck manufacturers collectively had delivered on a mandate. They delivered on a... And the people, the regulator, does not... moved at the same speed as the vehicle manufacturers, and there's a void now. And it's going to be how long it takes us to bring these things far, far closer together. And ultimately, who's going to pay? Is it going to be local government that pays, or is it going to be the operators that pays, or is it going to be a shared burden? And that's where we are.
It's exciting, though, for me, because I'm looking at this market and I'm thinking, you know, you mentioned Mylance there. They're coming with a proposition. But and GridServe are sort of building out their proposition. But I'm very, very conscious. You mentioned something at the beginning there about cost. The cost of the vehicle is already really expensive. And if we're trying to charge more for the fuel and publicly, so when they're on the go at the moment, the energy is going to cost almost more than diesel, and in some cases more than diesel, which will make it sort of impossible to square that circle. And then the rest of the market has got to stump up for the difference in price. I know this because really it's a very local charging center to me. AW Energy Group have got wind turbine, microgrid. They're charging 39 pence per kilowatt hour, and they've got a truck sort of charging area. Does it take this kind of innovation, this kind of different
thinking?
Paul,
you can't regionalise it. If it's 39 pence per kilowatt hour, it's got to be 39 pence per kilowatt hour, because you can't run a logistics business on fluctuating fuel prices. You know, it's got to be whatever it is here, it needs to be the same or within a penny, well, 2 pence. 200 miles up the road, you can't have these regional hotspots, because it doesn't suit logistics. It suits local distribution, urban distribution. It doesn't suit a national logistics network.
So does the market need regulation, Matt? So we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to the operational side of it, I can't run a business thinking, well, hang on a minute, I'm paying this here, and I'm going to be paying, I don't know what I'm going to be paying when I'm up the road. You can't work like that. It doesn't suit logistics at all.
So I think it's fair to say that we've got a big challenge ahead of
us.
We have, Paul,
but there's lots and lots of levers at play at work here. You know, if you are a traditional truck operator, and most of the operators I speak to do want to do something, you've got to look at, well, you know, the ultimate dream is net zero. It is. But it's not going to happen overnight. And as much as probably we do, and certainly the OEMs to a certain extent want it to happen quickly, because the amount of R&D money they've got down in the development of these very, very amazing pieces of engineering, the industry's got to move at the same speed. So we talk about hydro-treated vegetable oil, which is going to give you an initial reduction on CO2 emissions. And again, I'm just purely talking about heavy trucks, there's lots and lots of things an operator can do before we even start considering alternative fuels. The whole game of this, burn less fuel, you produce less CO2. That's it. It's chemistry. All it is. So first and foremost, are my tyre pressures right? Are the wheels pointing in the right direction? Could I select a better tyre that's going to be give me more fuel efficiency? Is the gap between the back of my cab and the front of the trailer right, that's going to give me proper aerodynamic effect, which improves aerodynamics, which by implication reduces fuel improves fuel consumption, which by implication reduces CO2 emissions. What about my driver training? Can I train my drivers better? How well am I before we even start thinking about other technologies? Now, if we start doing that and start adding things like HVO into the mix, all of a sudden we're on that journey. We're on that route towards decarbonisation by doing nothing else other than just even things like, route planning. I was planning my route. Could I be more efficient in how I run my business? These are all these things. It's all about fuel. Because, as you know, fuel is the biggest, two most expensive parts of a logistics operation, fuel and driver's wages.
And the vehicle.
People,
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exciting that this is all going on. And I think, we forget what you've just said at our peril, right? That the decarbonisation begins now, not just when you can get an electric vehicle at the right price. It just starts now. And what I'm excited about, and I know that you're heavily involved in this, the CV show, the commercial vehicle show brings a lot of this technology to people's understanding, and we're lucky enough to be the decarbonisation theatre. The EV Cafe are going to have the decarbonisation theatre at the show. We're going to have lots of people talking about their experiences. We will have a couple of heavy goods vehicle people talking about their experiences as well. But tell us why it's important that the CV show and other shows as well, of course, are important to help educate.
You've just, that last word you just used there, education. I mean, I've been around the commercial vehicle lot, as I say, all my working life, and I did a horrible calculation the other day. bear in mind the CV show, it's the 25th anniversary of the CV show this year, so it's a silver jubilee, quarter of a century. Yeah. And in those 25 years, I've missed 3 days of the show, so that's how sad I am about it. I've missed 3 days. But what I have seen, and obviously 19 Group, who were the delivery partner for the show, we're working very, very closely with them behind the scenes. And they're keen to put on a really, really, really good show, and it will be a good show. And, they want to give it, an experience. Now, what I've seen, and I've been lucky enough to visit lots and lots of shows all over the world, is certainly there's two things here. We've got we had COVID, which thankfully is behind us. And on the back of that, I think people's experiences of shows have changed. Pre-COVID, there's very much, great networking opportunity. But we've also now into this new era of decarbonisation as well. And it's almost like a timeline, is this? I know this has been going on well before COVID, but it's almost since sort of post 2021, 2022. That I think the whole show experience has changed. Both shows I've been involved with, and particularly with the CV show last year, I spent a lot of time talking to the visitors. And yet the network opportunity is a massive, massive thing. But because there's so much movement in the industry, it's almost become like a classroom session or a learning session. It's great to see your mates. It's great to see your colleagues. It's great to go looking for another job or whatever it is. But from an operational perspective, there's a lot going on. And I think the way the CV show's positioning itself now, I think is absolutely perfect, because it always used to be, the vehicle manufacturers are the big draw. I get that. But the way that the decarbonisation world is playing out, every exhibitor is part of that jigsaw. So if you're looking, use heavy trucks, for example. I'm a transport manager. I want to see what heavy trucks are on the market for me as battery electric vehicle. Let's just say that. So, right, the trucks are the easy bit. Right, and that's my proven brand, whether it be a three-pointed star, a diamond, an iron mark, it really doesn't matter. I've got that. But I now need to charge it. So now I need to speak to a... I can't have that without that. So now I'm going to speak to somebody who can provide the charging for my depot charging. Right, brilliant. Okay, I've got that. Ooh, but I need the power then to go to the... So I now need to go speak to an energy provider. Oh, and by the way, this is going to cost a SH1T load of money. I need to go find somebody who's going to lend me the money so I can do all of it. So all of a sudden, now I've got the vehicles, I need to make sure that they're working properly. So I now need to... I need the onboard telematics to report back to make sure that the job... So all of a sudden, we've squared the circle, and I think that's where the CV show is going for this year and years to come.
That's do you know what? That's so spot on. I know John wants to jump in here, but I just wanted to touch on that kind of... You've really painted a brilliant picture of the ecosystem that needs to be thought about, you know. And one of the things that we're trying to do with the EV Cafe, of course, is the village is the ecosystem for electrification, thinking about everything from charging to payments to energy to, you know, to the funding, even all of it, because everything needs complete rethinking, and to demonstrate it is a great thing. So really well articulated. Sorry, John.
Not at all. No, Matt, you talked about COVID, and COVID was a point for me where I stopped taking truckers for granted. Mm. I stopped taking van drivers for granted and started to think of them. We used to refer to them when I was a kid as Knights of the Road. Mm. And that description, the professional driver, made me think... We've got a lot to do in the industry to raise the profile of drivers as the people who facilitate life. Without truck drivers, without van drivers, you don't get your parcels, you don't get your food, you don't get the deliveries you need. Yet still, we see truckers getting a hard time. We see drivers who are capped at 56 miles an hour or 60, whatever it might be, getting honked by the guy in the three-pointed star who's right up his axles. And we need, as a society, to value what the logistics companies do for us, don't we? How do we manage that? How do we make that happen and get society to realise the value of what you do?
You touched on it there, John. I think COVID was terrible, but what it did do... was, you're absolutely right, we began to realise the value of, you know, the products on the, you know, how the products get onto the supermarket shelves. Yeah. I think it, and it's something we take for granted, you know. Raising the profile of it, I mean, I think we could be doing lots and lots, you know, but there's various TV shows that come and go, but they're very sort of nice, you know, niche programs. Mm. But again, I genuinely don't know what would work. I mean, the problem is, I mean, not a problem, but we're a very, very mature market. We're an island nation. Mm. We, you know, we take things utterly for granted until they're no longer there. And, you know, just look at what happened, you know, in the supermarkets, you know, no flour. And it's things like that. And it's only when you start seeing these products being replenished, you actually think, well, how have they got there? You know, if you remember, I know DAF Trucks did a lot of it. They were out there. They did a campaign around motorway service areas and truck washes, you know, buying drivers cups of tea. There were people leaving food and drinks out for drivers in lay-bys, you know, and because all of a sudden they realised that, hang on a minute, that they were the lifeblood of the business in very, very, very terrible times. Mm. And it all of a sudden, it just
not
seemed,
only.
Sorry, John.
No, all I was going to say was not only that, but these people are highly skilled individuals. I've seen people put 44-ton trucks into spaces I couldn't get a car into. They are so brilliant. And I wonder, you know, is there a TV show in here where it is actually, you know, HGV driver of the year kind of thing, where you're able to park between, you know, boxes of eggs?
Yeah.
And these guys, these girls, they can just do that because they're so skilled.
The driving is absolutely right. I mean, I've got my C+C, and I look at, I can drive, but I can't drive like those guys and girls can. I really can't. And the other bit, and it's only one part, you know, whichever way you look at it, when you get behind that wheel, you are piloting a 44-ton weapon. You are. And if things go wrong, you know, you would probably face the same, you know, legislative issues, there's a word, that a commercial airline pilot would do. Because, you know, your responsibilities are up there with them. You know, the depth of knowledge you've got to know operationally about driving times, tachograph law, and all these other bits that are things that people forget about, because it's a very, very, very tightly regulated industry. You know, there's so much behind the scenes that people don't even just to keep, you know, Richard Turfitt, who, you know, he's a traffic commissioner. You know, you do not want to be stood in front of him. You really don't.
No.
And, you know, and if the balloon goes up, you know, your transport manager will be up there and the driver will be with him. Well, there's no escape. And that people have got to remember it's not treated as a profession. And it really, really is. It really, really is.
Yeah. We know this because, you know, you have to take a certificate of professional competency, which is no small test. It's quite comprehensive. You know, the whole driving license thing is, you know, they're scaled for a reason, and it is really important. I'm sort of wondering because old Jeremy Clarkson, of course, you know, jumps in a Lambo tractor. And suddenly the world's looking at farming.
I've got a claim to fame. We'll come back to that.
It's okay. Well, let's come on to your claim to fame. But just thinking about it, who can we get that is going to take a driving test and become a truck driver and head up and down the highways and byways of the Great Britain to highlight the challenges? Because we all know now that actually farming is really difficult to make money at. And actually, you know, it's not very popular and it does a hell of a lot of good. And, you know, you get the picture from dealing, you know, watching Jeremy do what he's done. Love him or hate him, it doesn't really matter. He's really brought that thing to life and actually won awards for bringing it to life. Yeah. We need somebody
Guy
like
Martin.
That.
Guy Martin's your man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's
done... He's on the tools.
Yeah, he sort of came through. I mean, he's probably a fantastic ambassador for the industry. He really is, because he is, you know, the modern day Fred Dibner. He's got an appreciation for engineering. he understands the job. He's fixed the things and a passionate engineer. But he's
like you. He's got media sorted. That's the thing. He not only can do all that stuff, he can tell people about it in a way they want to watch and listen to.
You can, and I think because he's done it, you can speak with. And no, I don't mean an air of arrogance, but you can speak with authority because you've done it. You know,
absolutely.
And if you've been on the side of the M62 motorway in the middle of January in a blizzard, pulling a prop shaft off a Bedford TM. You know, or whatever he would have been on Volvos when he first started in his apprenticeship at John Hebb's. You know, if you've done it, then you've also got right to criticise it as well. But it was interesting what you were saying about Jeremy Clarkson, because I thought the guys in the most recent incarnation of Top Gear with with Top Gear.
Oh, Top Gear.
Yeah, with Paddy McGuinness.
Flintoff.
And Chris Harris.
Chris Harris, that was it. Yeah.
They all took their Class 1s. And I thought they did it in a far better way because it did actually show some of the responsibility. But, I mean, it's telling a story, isn't it? It's got to be entertaining. Mm. But I think they did quite justice with that, quite good justice, you know. With that. The flip side of that is when, and this is my claim to fame coming in, and listeners, viewers, this is genuine, not a setup. When James May, Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond did the truck driving stuff, it was at Millbrook all those years ago, it was almost at the... entertaining, but it was the truck driver was the butt of the jokes, and it's fun, but I don't think they did it justice. But again, it's entertaining. Now the claim to fame is that the Magnum that Jeremy Clarkson was driving, I sold that vehicle brand new in 1994 to a company in Huddersfield. So there you go.
Brilliant!
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh dear. Millbrook's a great place actually, because I remember going, I think we were on the same event to the DAF event down there, And I remember getting to drive the, I think it was a 19-ton electric vehicle, which was put on. And then Phil Moon, who you'll know well, said to me, come on, jump in the 44-tonner. And I'm like, yeah, but it's diesel. But I was like, oh, gosh, how do you turn that down? So I went off with the driver, almost took out a sign as I was coming back in. But, you know, because they're blooming long, aren't they? But it was a great experience. And you realise, you know, how big an experience it is. But these people normalise it.
When I did my Class 1, as it used to be, or C plus C, it does make you a better car driver because, you know, you do fully understand and respect when these drivers are coming to a roundabout and they're straddling this, the line up to it. It's because it's all, not, I don't mean controlled aggression, that's a wrong word, but they're managing the space around them because a car driver will try and nip up the inside, and it's all part of being a professional driver is to eliminate any risk. So if there's no way that the driver can get past you, and that's what it's, that's professional driving, that's space management. And it would be nice if, you know, the manufacturers could collectively get together in one place and say to, you know, 10,000 people over the course of however, come and drive a truck, see what it's like. And you know, you get an appreciation for one, what the things are like to drive, but two, you know, what the driver's got to go through. And I think if you could do that, it'd be, you know, I mean, I've said 10,000 is a big number, but I'm just saying it, just being able to give people the experience, because it would make everybody think a little bit more when you're blaring your horn because you're on a dual carriage and you've got two trucks trying to pass each other. That's your reason behind it. And it's,
but that is very irritating, like, though, you have to admit.
Yeah. And there's some, I mean, let's go on record here. There's some absolutely amazing truck drivers, but some bloody rubbish ones as well. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's like in any industry, you know, like in any profession. It don't, you know, I drive a truck and I'm driving my car and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, mate, are you really, really going to do that? Are you sure you really want to do that? But that's life, isn't it?
That is life.
Now then, young man, the CV show, we should return to it just briefly. Paul and I are going to be there with the EV Cafe and we're buzzing for it. What are you really looking forward to? The one thing at the CV show that makes you want to go year after year after year?
Good question. Year after year, I suppose being a fan of the industry, but going back to the whole visitor experience, you know, it's a fantastic networking opportunity. But it's great to catch up with your pals, you know, old and new colleagues from years ago. But going back to that whole sort of learning experience, you know, it is now probably more than ever a learning experience. It is a place to see where the industry's going. I keep saying we're in this sort of, there's more happened in the last 5 years and probably in that previous 105 years. Vehicle design hasn't changed since Carl Bain built the first truck back in wherever, you know, engine at the front, C chassis sections, drive axle at the back and a prop shaft down the middle. The technology are moving so quickly where we are gradually moving away from that traditional setup. So we've got that. We've got everything that fits in between. And again, that whole sort of, what would you call it? Appetite for knowledge can be filled. Mm. Personally, again, I like the people. I love the industry, and I think, you know, it is really the place to really flag wave your technology. I was talking to a vehicle manufacturer, heavy truck manufacturer, the other week, and they paid the show a really great accolade. Not bearing in mind, I'm a media partner. I'm not a stakeholder in it as such, but I'm a media partner. And they said they see the CV show as almost like the Geneva Motor Show, where people are showcasing prototypes, technology, the future. And I think that's a really, really good place to be. That, you know, you guys are doing with, you know, the EV Cafe, I mean, I take your hat off to you because you've brought a group of absolutely important people in elements of the industry into one space where everybody works collectively. And I think what we're going to see with the show for this year is exactly the same. Everybody's more reliant on each other. And I think, you know, and it's a great flag-waving opportunity for the industry as well. And I think also just one thing as well, with the involvement of the RHA, and then this isn't a plug, but it's absolutely fact. The one thing the RHA, Road Haulage Association, does, really, really well is lobby government, lobby parliament for the industry. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in the industry and you want to support the industry and you want to get your voice heard, then realistically, work with people like the RHA and get them to lobby on your behalf to improve the industry. And I think that's going back to where we're saying about how do we improve the industry? How do we get the industry better recognised? It's through those sorts of things. It's direct action. You know, wave the flag, support the industry.
Quite right.
And Matt, what flag are you going to be waving? So I know Net Zero magazine has an area, Destination Net Zero, I should say, Destination Net Zero magazine. So tell me what you guys will be doing and where we can come and find you.
There's lots of things we're looking at the minute. I mean, we're just trying to sort of finalise how much that space that we've got, but the sort of ambition is to sort of pretty much replicate what we did last year, which one thing I was keen to do, again, as media partner for the 24 show last year and indeed for this year, is to be able to sort of showcase some of the technology that we've been covering in the magazine and online. So what I'm trying to do is bring together a whole, again, the storyboard really of operators that want to sort of do something but not sure where to start, so we can look at the whole breadth of technologies that support the industry in the heavy truck side of it. You know, talk about the technology, talk about the fuel, and then hopefully we'll have the other bits as well. We're just waiting, fingers crossed, we're going to be able to get some trailer element as well there, you know, because they're, you know, the trailer manufacturers are in the same position. You know, they've got to they want to decarbonize, you know, so hopefully we'll have a nice sort of a cavalcade, that's a word. A cavalcade of, I suppose, vehicles and technology that will sort of tell the story of, you know, Destination Net Zero, I suppose.
Particularly for the heavy truck sector, Fantastic. Oh, we're really close by each other in the in the show, so it's going to be really exciting. Really, really looking forward to it. And Matt, we have a special tradition on the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast. Yeah, so every podcast of any standard or quality, you know, has a tradition. So our tradition is to hand a magic wand to you. But today, I'm on holiday, sort of. I'm not at home, and I walked along a beach this morning, and I thought, what can I present that will be the new magic something? And it is the magic shell. Look, there we go. A lovely, beautiful shell from Southbourne Beach, just down the road. So I'm going to hand this to you. So it's going to come through the camera. There we go. And you're to take it. The shell, and you've got to place it against your ear and listen. And listen to your wish. What is the wish that you are going to have? And now you've got to tell us your wish. It's for the industry. What is the one thing that we all really need to do?
Shh, hang on, it's coming through now. I'm getting the word.
You've got to just...
we've already spoken about it. I think the wish for the industry, and this should be collectively, whether this is van, heavy truck, urban delivery bike, is just recognition. I think people take everything for granted. I've also think I'm absolutely adamant that, and I'll probably get dragged out of dawn and shot for this by the consumer rather than the industry. Transport is too cheap. I think it really, really is. But I just think recognition. I think people need to understand and recognise that when you're in bed, there's trucks up and down the local motorway network, you know, guys and girls driving those things all the time to make sure that you've got fresh product on your on your shelves tomorrow morning when you go do your Saturday morning shopping. And I think it's just having a, you know, understanding and respecting that it's a 24/7 industry and there are trucks out there every day of the year. And I think just have a little bit of a thought for the people behind that. You know, if you're not having a bad day and they've made a mistake, they're having a bad day, cut them a bit of slack. They've probably been behind that wheel for a long time, dealing with car drivers and traffic situations, probably in an area they don't really know too well. Just have a bit of a thought for them and cut them a bit of slack.
Do you know what? That is beautiful. Recognition. And I love the way of your friend Tim, your friend and ours, really, to be fair. He's a wonderful man, so passionate about the industry. But whenever he sits in front of an audience, he sort of says, hands up who's involved in logistics and truck driving and stuff like that. There's like two hands that might go up. And he says, right, you lot, pin your ears back. You're all involved in it. And this is why. And gives them both barrels on, you know, the parcels and the medical and everything that comes via our logistics system, which, to John's point earlier about the recognition within COVID, they are so valuable and so important. And if we didn't have them, we would be screwed.
What people forget about, and it's said time and time again, but it's absolutely true. Absolutely everything I'm looking in your offices, in particularly ours, John, I don't know, but everything that we've got around us has come on a truck. Absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And just remember that, because we take it for granted. And I say, if there's not fresh bread on the shelves in Tesco's in the morning, or even a tin of beans, you know, the world would stop turning. You know, really would. And even these people, you know, the lighter end of the market, you know, the person that's delivering for, you know, whether it be DPD, Amazon, all the other home delivery companies are available. It's all part of the logistics. It's all part of it. It's all, and that box that you get when there's a knock on the door and you pick, you know, you've been desperate for that spice for your curry that you can only get from one particular place. Think about that journey that parcel's had. Just think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on.
Matt, you were a friend I had never met until today. And do you know what? Loved talking to you. If people want to find out more about Matt Eisenegger, and especially Destination Net Zero and the great work you do, how do you do that?
Google. Destination Net Zero magazine, Google. It's all there. I think we're the top of the search engines. You'll find that you can download every back issue that we've got, everything. You know, LinkedIn, we put a lot out on LinkedIn. There's always stuff going up there every day that we're talking about. It's all there. You know, with other media as well. You know, we've got CV Driver for the driver audience, all online. Trade Van Driver for the professional van, you know, for the professional trades. It's all there.
Brilliant. And will you share a cup of tea with us at
the
Evie
Cafe? Of course I will. I'll be wanting to share a bit more of a cup of tea.
When we get to the CV show.
Absolutely. Well, we'll invite you to the bowling on the second night. You can come and join us. That'd be fabulous. Well, listen, I'm so excited to have been able to talk to you. Matt, I've got to know you over the last couple of years and I found it so incredibly refreshing. I love the fact that you are absolutely grounded in this industry, you know, from the spanners on up, you've just brought this industry to life. A little bit for me, I've begun to sort of follow the stuff that you guys promote, and in conversations that we've had, it's been really encouraging. Really, really looking forward to the CV
Thank
show.
You.
It's going to be a great few days. There's going to be, you know, thousands of people coming through the door, hopefully hungry for knowledge around all of the future and how it behold, you know, how it pans out, particularly around decarbonisation. Mm-hmm. I think we've got some great answers. We'll really see the show move forward. It is, there's a new energy about it, to coin a phrase. But there's a new energy about the show, and it kind of gives us a little bit of hope for its former glory, as it were, because definitely on a journey up at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. And as I say, it's... you know, I know, again, working with the guys from 19 Group, as they were the delivery partner to the show, they have lots and lots of ideas. And they're not, their ideas that will be realised around the show. I think there's I can't speak on their behalf, but what I've seen, you know, they're wanting to give it, they want everybody to walk away happy from that show, having been plenty of knowledge, and I've had a really, really good day out and feel entertained. You know, that's what it is. It's a show at the end of the day. It's all in the title. It's a show. You know, and I think there's a great opportunity there to say, you know, have a great couple of days out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll put links to get your free ticket so you can register and get your free ticket. You can see all the exhibitors on their website. There is something for everybody. Do connect up with Matt Eisenegger on LinkedIn. Follow Destination Net Zero there, and also connect with him if you've got any need within the commercial vehicle world. Matt is a great connector of dots, if nothing, amongst other things. So it's been fabulous. We've really enjoyed it. Thank you, Matt, for your time today. And we're really looking forward to being all together at the CV
show. Absolute pleasure, Paul.
It was an
absolute pleasure. And thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Cheers, mate.
Good. We've enjoyed it too. So that's it. Check out the evcafe.org for all the podcasts like this. Spotify, yeah, all those good things. And follow us on LinkedIn too, but only after following Matt. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks for listening.